Blog Talk Radio.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
You found the place for up close and personal interviews with your favorite country stars. This is In the Country, hosted by Dave Wood. Stay tuned for great stories and great music. Now live from Ontario and heard around the world, welcome to the show.
Winnipeg-based musical duo Keith and Renee released their fourth album entitled Detours earlier this year. A single from it, Just the Way You Are, is receiving airplay. One of their songs from a previous album was chosen as Manitoba's Homecoming 2010 official anthem alongside Bachman-Turner Overdrive's You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. They are currently on a Free the Children tour in Canada, which also saw them visiting Kenya and Africa over the past couple of summers. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show, now in Ontario, until, I guess, later this evening, it's Keith and Renee. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
Great to have you on the show now. Oh, you're very welcome. We're going to find out all about you guys, how you started, and what you're up to today. There's so many different facets of what you do aside from the music, the Free the Children tour, and we'll get into all that. Maybe we'll start with when you guys met and formed the duo of Keith and Renee, of course, Keith McPherson and Renee Lamoureux.
Yeah, well, I met Keith back in 1997, and I'm from a small town just outside of Winnipeg called Île-du-Chêne, and every Saturday night I used to sing at my church. And so one Saturday night I was singing my music, and I saw Keith in the audience, and I right away wondered who that boy was, because, you know, I know everybody in my little town. And little did I know, he was coming to hear me sing, because my cousin had told him that we'd make a good band together. So that's how we were first introduced.
It's true. I remember getting in my car and driving to Île-du-Chêne, Manitoba, where it's so flat you can watch your dog run away for 3 days. And it was Renee singing, and I was like, how am I ever going to get the guts to go ask her if she wants to start a band? So at the end of the service, I went up to her and literally was just like, hey, I'm Keith, do you want to jam? And the next thing I knew, we were traveling all over Canada and writing songs and playing our music. And, yeah, it's amazing to be still doing this after all that time.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to still be doing it, as you say, after all that time, and also to find someone, because it's not just anybody else who is musical that you're going to be a good fitting with. So you guys obviously shared the same kind of style, I guess, and approach to what you wanted to accomplish in music.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we always say this is definitely, it feels like a marriage, because, you know, we've been traveling together for all these years, and, Keith is my best friend. We've had amazing times, but I'll be honest, it is a lot of work for sure, and I think we balance each other out, and, you know, we have our fortes and our weaknesses, but I think when we come together, I think we're really strong together, and obviously we work well together because we're still here, and we're actually sitting in a van together as we speak right now on tour. So it's like we're always in this van together, but we still get along.
That is awesome, and you guys are heading back to Winnipeg later tonight, was it, or tomorrow?
Actually, later tonight. We played a show today. In the middle of this small town in the middle of Ontario, just outside of Kitchener. And we drove back to Toronto, and now we're just kind of waiting to catch a plane to fly back to Winnipeg. So it's always a constant getting on planes, playing shows, getting to the next town. It's a pretty, I shouldn't say transient, because each place takes on their own bit of time for us, but it does become pretty transient when we're traveling around now, that's for sure. But it's,
I'll bet.
Sure.
Well, let's talk about musical influences, and we'll start with you, Keith. Can you talk about when you were growing up, the musical heroes you had, and the kind of the artists you looked forward to releasing CDs and albums?
Sure, yeah. Well, I remember when I first started learning guitar, some of my first influences were definitely people like Bob Dylan. I love Paul McCartney and John Lennon, the Beatles influence for sure. And it's progressed over the years as well. I mean, I'm a big fan of, I actually love the Dixie Chicks. I love their music and their writing style. Keith Urban is also another one of my favorite acts right now currently. But growing up, I remember I used to have these old Paul McCartney albums, and I would just practice playing guitar and pretending I was in the band, and I'd put it on the stereo and just totally try to emulate every note and practice singing. And I think that's really where I developed my musical abilities, was just constantly practicing, pretending I was in Paul McCartney's band at the time. So,
in Beatles or the Wings?
A little bit of both, actually. My favorite album to practice with was his Unplugged album, which is kind of a rare record where he played a mix of Beatles stuff and his own kind of Wings solo stuff. And it, I don't know, I think because it was an acoustic album, I just felt like I was part of the band, even though I've never met him. But, you know, it felt so real just getting to play along. But I remember that so clearly, practicing along with
that
album.
That's really cool. It's just how music makes us feel that way. And you felt close to the music and like you were right there because you were playing along with it and learning as you did.
Exactly, for sure.
Really cool. And how about you, Renee? Who are some of your musical heroes and influences?
Well, while Keith was pretending to be Paul McCartney, I was pretending to be Madonna. So, as a young girl, I loved that pop music. So, you know, like Madonna and Tiffany and Whitney Houston.
Yep.
And so I kind of grew up listening to those divas and aspired to be just like them. I remember, like, becoming a songwriter. I remember writing my first song in grade 5, I believe, and it was our teacher that had, it was our assignment. We had to get together with a friend and write a song together, and then he had rented, like, this drum machine, and, you know, so we actually made a song, recorded it, and we had, like, a talent night. Our parents came out, and we performed it, and I remember getting a lot of attention from performing that song, and, you know, everybody complimented me on my voice and our writings and writing styles, and I really enjoyed that attention. And I mean, I always loved singing. From when I think I started singing, I was probably like 5 years old, and my parents bought us a microphone, and I would, you know, always be the one singing at church and stuff.
Right.
But, like the songwriting thing came at about that age, and it wasn't until like later on, after 18 years old, that I realized that, you know, I could do this as a career, which is pretty awesome.
It is to do what you love to do, and to there's something about sharing music, of course, as performers do, and to get the feedback from the audience and to see the effect it's having on them when you're performing, whether it's with the young kids or a more mature audience, just how the music is making them feel.
Mm-hmm, totally.
Now, we're going to turn to the music in a few moments, and then we're going to come back and talk about Free the Children, and it took you to Kenya and Africa. And we'll talk a bit about Canadian Idol as well, with Keith's experience on there a few years back. But let's talk about the song Just the Way You Are from the current CD, which is called Detours. And if you guys want to talk about the writing of it and a bit about the song, and then we'll let everyone have a listen to it.
Sure. Well, we had just finished watching the movie Juno. And I don't know if you've seen that movie, but at the end, Ellen, I forget their names. Anyway, the two lead people come together, and they sing this cute little love song on the steps outside. And I thought, I want to write a simple love song like that. And so, you know, Keith and I, we got together, and that was kind of the idea. We wanted to write that simple love song. And in the middle of the whole process, we actually got in this huge fight, which is a little typical of what we do. No, just kidding. And so I don't know what we were arguing about. It was obviously about the writing material. But in the end, what came out of it is exactly what we wanted in the first place. And so I think at the end of the day, this is a song about the two of us and just accepting each other for who we are. And so this song is called just the way you are.
And here it is, Keith and Renee on In the Country.
Your smile turns me into a fool. At work, I look at your picture, honey. One glance elevating the mood. So don't you change for me. I like the way that you compliment me. We're so easily amused. When I'm a clown, you'll always laugh at me, no matter how bad a joke I use. Every day you wanna live for me. Every day I'm gonna give to you. We've got an understanding what we'll be. So don't you change.
And that is Keith and Renee here on In the Country, a beautiful song called Just the Way You Are from their fourth album, which was released this year. The album is called Detours, and you can head to keithandrenee.com and catch up with them and catch some of their videos there as well. You guys have done some videos, and in fact, one for a song called The One, which is a great song and a great message in the video. Do you want to talk about making that and being on camera and the whole bit?
Sure, yeah. We decided to shoot this video because we've been doing a lot of performing in schools across Canada and working with an organization, Free the Children. So we wanted to capture, in essence, the message that we've been talking about with our music and with the speech that we've been doing in schools. So we ended up actually going to my old elementary school to shoot the video, which was very nostalgic. And we used a local Winnipeg video company for the album, or for the video shoot, and for, I guess they helped with the album as well. And the concept of the video really was about coming together as one. The song we wrote called The One is this whole idea that everybody's connected and we all need to take small steps towards making the world a better place. Renee and I spent the last two summers in Kenya, Africa, and we worked there helping build schools and working on clean water projects. It was an incredible experience. And the first summer we were over in Kenya, we got invited to travel straight from Kenya to Dubai, which is the extreme opposite in terms of wealth. It was like one of the richest places we'd ever been. And coming there directly from Kenya, where we hung out with people that barely had any food to eat and were living in literally these minyata huts, and then going and staying in one of the nicest hotels in the world, we really noticed this imbalance. And what was incredible about both experiences, being in Kenya and then in Dubai, is we played the same songs for, you know, the richest people and then some of the poorest people, yet we had the same reaction in that everybody kind of smiled and sang along and danced. And it became so clear that music is this universal language that can definitely pulsate through all those barriers that we put up and all those walls and stereotypes. And so I think that song in general is all about idea that we are connected as one, and we need to start looking at how can we help each other out and work together towards, you know, making our planet a better place. So the video kind of came from that concept, and we use a bunch of kids that are currently going to the school there that act in the video, and of course we're playing out in Ile de Chine as well, where Renee grew up. So it kind of splices between playing out in the country and then going into the school setting, and Yeah, we just wanted to really put out a good positive message, and to actually emulate this further, we found out recently that the song was chosen to be on David Suzuki's upcoming compilation album with a bunch of other artists. It's a project he's putting together called Playlist for the Planet, so we're really excited to be part of that project too.
Yeah, I was reading up on that. It's an eco album, and you're one of 11 songs, and some of the other names, Bruce Coburn and Gordon Lightfoot, are going to be on there as well.
Yeah, we were just so honored to have been chosen. I think there were 600 people that had applied for that contest, and we really didn't think we were going to get it. So when we got the email or the call, it was just, just so awesome. And of course, we believe in everything that David Suzuki has ever done. And so quite an honor to be on that CD.
Yeah, a great honor. Now, it's referred to as an eco album. So do all the songs, what's sort of that whole theme, or what's the purpose behind it?
Well, I think all the songs on the album are basically encouraging people to look after the planet in some way. I think some songs talk about, like, I don't know, like pretty obvious things like recycling and trying to be greener, where other songs like ours is talking about coming together as one. But the idea was to sort of not reinvent, but maybe more emulate what artists back in the 60s were doing, using music as a tool to promote change and to encourage more positivity in the world. So I think that was his original vision with the project. So it's going to release, I believe, just after Christmas. So we'll see how it goes.
Sounds great. Now, just to touch again on the Free the Children tour that you guys are doing, you were in Ontario, and then you're heading back to Winnipeg. Can you sort of explain what you're doing when you're attending the schools and what message you're sharing?
Yeah, well, Keith and I have been with the organization now for 3 years, and we've been performing in schools across Canada during that time. And it's almost like a concert with a message. And so we'll play in front of the entire school in the morning, and what we'll do is talk about our personal experiences being in Kenya and building schools, but we also talk about the Free the Children story and how it was founded in 1995 by a 12-year-old boy named Craig Kuhlberger. And, you know, at 12 years old, he's made such a difference. They've already built today 650 schools in 45 developing countries, and they're schooling like 55,000 kids every day. And so our message is that you can be any age to make a difference, and that small steps can truly make a huge difference. And I think Craig sets such an example for that.
That's wonderful that he began that, and that people like yourselves are spreading that message. It's terrific. Well, let's transition from that to Canadian Idol, because I know we've got a lot of listeners who, like myself, have watched just about every season when it was on the air. Hasn't been on the last couple of years, which is unfortunate. But back in 2006, Keith, you just about hit the top 10, just a little shy of that. What was your experience like on there, performing week after week and you know, doing all those great songs and getting the feedback?
Oh, it was incredible. It was a really fun summer. I think one of the highlights, or one of the most memorable experiences that made me realize how powerful television is, being on that show, was the first week of the Top 22. When I made the cut for the Top 22, I got flown from Winnipeg out to Toronto, and I was so nervous. And I got to the TV studio, and they gave me these tickets to hand out to my friends and family to come to the show. But I literally didn't know anybody in Toronto at the time, so I remember just taking these free tickets and going on the subway and handing them out to random strangers. And it was the easiest way to make new friends in Toronto. So I was watching the rerun of the show, and these tickets that I handed out to these strangers, well, I'm watching the rerun, and I'm singing my song, and all of a sudden it flashes to these people I don't know, and the caption on the TV says, Keith's friends and family. And pretty shocking to see all these people I'd met on the subway showing up for the show to support me as my family there. So it was made me realize how powerful TV is.
Good. That's a great story. And what was it like? Did you feel comfortable getting the feedback that you got after each song? And it's always nervous, I'm sure, being up there and then to hear whatever they have to say.
It was really nerve-wracking. I mean, I never knew what the judges were going to say after singing. I always seemed to get fairly positive feedback, but it was incredible standing there in front of the entire country getting these critiques on my voice and on my interpretations of songs. And I have to admit, in my mind, a lot of times there was this constant chatter going on through the process of, you didn't sing it well enough, or you should have done this, you should have done that. And so I think it was a real test for both mind control and trying to keep your ego under control, because it is a very nerve-wracking process. But out of it, I have to say another memorable experience was working with the vocal coach, Deborah Bird. She was an incredible lady and really knew how to just bring me to a state of relaxation when I was singing. And we spoke a lot in rehearsals about just how to calm the mind and how to breathe properly. And it's something that I've taken with me from that show and brought into my own music and into our Keith and Renee shows. It's just the ability to find ease in what you're doing, even though it can be pretty awkward to stand on stage and play your music sometimes, because we played every single nook and cranny across the country. But just returning to breath and returning to just calming the mind down, it's and once you've done that, it's the ability to connect with people, and it's easier to connect, I find, with an audience when you actually come into a state of just being relaxed on stage. So I think that's really what I brought away from that show.
That's great. And again, anyone listening can head to YouTube, of course. Everything these days is on YouTube, and can check out your Canadian Idol experience, some highlights from it, and, of course, all kinds of other stuff. As Keith and Renee, there's some great videos of the two of you, some blogs, and, of course, the actual videos. But let's talk about cover songs for a moment. Then I want to also touch on songwriting. But one of the cover songs, I was just going to ask in general which ones you like, but I know also from YouTube that you do Time After Time. And what's your thinking behind doing that great song?
Do you mean as Keith and Renee?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were still talking about Canadian Idol.
No, sorry. Yeah, because there is a performance of Keith doing Time After Time, but I've also seen the two of you do a version of it together.
Yeah, we've been performing that song for a while. I mean, I've always been a Cyndi Lauper fan, and it's just a song that's, we've always enjoyed singing, and we actually do quite a few covers. Like, we have our favorites, Neil Young, and I've always loved singing Amanda Marshall, and so we'll kind of, switch it up sometimes and add it to our set, and add a few covers to for the audience, and yeah.
Yeah, Amanda Marshall's a great Canadian artist. It had so many great songs when she had that string of hits. One of my favorites of hers is Marry Me, such a beautiful acoustic song.
We actually covered that this summer. We played at a wedding on the beach in this exotic place out in British Columbia, and that was the song they walked down the aisle to. It was pretty fun to cover that one, for sure.
Yeah, that's such a pretty song. Let's turn back to the music now, then we'll come back and talk about songwriting and a few other things. But the song we're going to hear now is called Crying, and if you could talk about that, guys, and then we'll share it.
Yeah, for sure. This is actually going to be our next single coming up, and this song, I ended up making the album because of my mother. It's her absolute favorite song that I had written, and I had written this song quite a few years ago, actually, and I just never thought it would make the cut. But it's one of these songs that's, I'm not saying this to brag or anything, but it's one of these songs that, you just wrote it in 5 minutes, and you just think, oh, whatever, it's just a throwaway tune. And so it was one of my 5-minute tunes, and then once we were recording it, we recorded this last album in Hamilton, Ontario, a place called Catherine North Studios. And I remember when the band was playing it and I was singing, I was like, oh, wow, this is awesome. And it actually ended up being my favorite song on the album. And I think because it's so close to my heart, and it's really all about heartbreak and getting over it and moving on and kind of going through the process of that. So, this is a song called Crying.
Here's Keith and Renee on In the Country.
I'll never let you see my face, not in the state of grace. I've got my pride and my reputation.
And Renee here on In the Country, and that is Crying. It's from their current album called Detours. You can find out more about the duo at keithandrenee.com. Now, guys, the CDs, including the new one, available for purchase from the website?
That's correct. Yep, we've got CDs right off our website, keithandrenee.com. Or you can just go to iTunes and look at Keith and Renee or find us on there as well, for sure.
Great. Now, on the subject of songwriting, you guys, you write all your own songs on each album. You don't do outside songs?
Yeah, we've always done our own material, and Keith and I mostly always co-write together. At first, like the first few albums that we have, we actually wrote individually, and we just write our own songs, and then after album number 3, we decided, you know, we should co-write, and we haven't really looked back. I mean, we always co-write together, and actually this 5th album that we're writing right now, we're writing it as a trio with CRISPR Gaffney from Winnipeg, and he's a dear friend of ours, and we've always admired, you know, his work, and so we decided, why not do number 5 album, just do it, the 3 of us together, and so it's been really great having him on board writing these songs with us.
So what would a typical writing session be, and what would you bring to it? Do you sort of set aside some time, and then each of you come in with some ideas you've started and then try to complete it that way, or do some ideas spring up in the spur of the moment as you're writing?
Well, it's always a different process. Every song takes on its own kind of adventure, but typically, in the past, Renee and I have come with sort of a melody line or a lyric idea, and then we just finish the song that way. This last album, Detours, that we just released, though, a lot of the songs were written right from scratch, where I think we have built up such a comfort as songwriting partners that we can sit down in a room and just start working through ideas. So I guess it had a little more of a Nashville approach to the whole songwriting process this time, and where we just sit down and have our guitars, and the right chords would start coming, the right melody would come, and as Renee said, we might have a few like disagreements, but that actually urged us to write maybe even stronger songs in the end. So, yeah, that's it's always different, but that's generally the case. And I know when we are originally just coming up with stuff, we constantly have melodies in our head, so I use my iPhone as a recorder. I know Renee has an old school dictaphone tape recorder that she puts her ideas down on. But a lot of times
I remember those.
Melody.
Yeah.
A lot of times we just mumble these melodies and then the lyrics kinda come out of that, and yeah, it's pretty amazing how it just all kind of becomes a song in the end.
And do you end up writing, like, for the albums, did you end up, you know, writing 20 songs or more, and then you narrowed it down so you still had sort of some songs left over that were probably still good but just couldn't make it into the top 10?
Yes, that always happens. And I think it happens more for me than it does for Keith, only because it seems like I do a lot of writing, like, on my own time, and Keith is more of, you know, he'll just come to the table and write, but what comes out is always wonderful. But I seem to just enjoy, like, writing by myself as well. And so I do have a lot of songs at home, and, you know, I have these visions of making other albums on the side, and yeah, so who knows? I mean,
right.
There's so many opportunities out there. It's like, the sky's the limit.
Definitely. Is there a genre that either of you separately or together would like to explore, something a little different than what you're doing now? Sometimes some artists are, you know, on the side, they like jazz, or they are into classical music or some other genre. Is there something you guys have in that regard?
Well, I don't know about Keith, but I definitely do. I write a lot of dance mix tunes, like R&B stuff. So that's something
okay.
that I would love to do on the side. That'd just be really fun to, you know, even put out a, like, on a different name. And another thing, well, and also, like, I'm French, so I do write a lot, or I try to write a lot in French. So that's something else I'd love to pursue in the future, is to put out a French album.
Ah, very cool. Very cool. And what about you, Keith? Any secret side ambitions with music?
Wow. Well, I do a lot of co-writing for other artists already. I think I naturally have sort of this folk country, a little bit of pop in me naturally. I did actually write a dance song recently for somebody too, but it was really a difficult process. I don't know. I recently wrote a song with a girl named Sierra Noble that's been doing really well. Possibility with her, and it's been fun to watch that song kind of take on its own life. She's ended up playing that all over the place and big video.
That's a great
that was a cool co-writer. Yeah, there's been a few others too. I wrote with a band called The Keats recently out of Halifax.
The
new EP, and I'm trying to think. I do a lot of co-writing with other artists as well, in that sort of world of folk roots kind of stuff.
Very cool. Now, what about artists' dream pitches? Are there certain artists out there that come to mind that you would love to have record one of your songs?
Definitely.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And you have a song sing? What's that? Yeah, go ahead.
That's a great question.
Keith, you can go first because I'm trying to think here.
Well, the song Possibility that I wrote for Sierra, I originally wrote that in hopes of pitching it to Paul Simon. And I guess Sierra snagged the idea first, but it was definitely a Paul Simon song. My dream would be to do a co-write session with Paul McCartney. I think that would be, like, the ultimate for me. He's going to be in New York City when I'm there next month. And, man, it would just be amazing to run into him and happen to have a guitar that we could write a song together with. But that's a huge dream.
That'd be pretty cool.
I've always wanted to write a song for Celine Dion. So I guess that would be one for me.
Oh, really?
And,
cool. Yeah, I had Dan Hill
on.
I had Dan Hill on last week, and he talked about meeting Celine Dion when she was very young. And he, of course, went on to write songs, some songs for her, and they did quite well.
Yes. Yeah, he's great. I went to his workshop, and I could have listened to him all day. It was wonderful.
What a great voice and a great writer. And, I know that he does those workshops and I guess gives people feedback on songs and a bit of instruction.
Yeah, it was wonderful. He's such a great storyteller. Like, he, you know, said the story about Celine. And, yeah, it's just amazing the journey that he's been on. So he was a real inspiration.
Very cool. So Celine Dion would definitely be one you would you'd want to write a song for.
That would be cool to hear her sing one of my songs. Yes.
What about teaming up with artists? Sometimes if I have on just a single artist, I'll ask them who they'd like to sing a duet with. If anybody came to mind, and the sky's the limit on that. But what about to team up with, say, another, either an individual to join you on a song, or even another group to join you? Is there some artists out there from any genre that you guys could see yourselves working with on a song or a project?
Well, I would have no complaints if the Beatles wanted to get back together and write or play a song. That'd be fine with me.
It's an interesting question. I'm really thinking about this one. I don't know why, but when you said that, Bryan Adams came to mind.
Renee's nice. All over the map tonight.
I would be up for singing with anybody.
Yeah, and Bryan Adams, certainly a good choice. Great Canadian artist, and, I mean, hits nonstop for years and years. I saw him in concert, actually, in the last year or two in Barrie, and he put on an amazing show, and one hit after another. You know every song.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Now, you guys, another song of yours that was chosen for a great thing, along with the one we talked about earlier, but the song Goodyear from your Revolution album. Now, this was chosen as Manitoba's Homecoming 2010 official anthem, right up there with, of course, we all know BTO's You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. Can you talk about that? That's very cool.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Manitoba as a province had the idea of, I guess, celebrating so many years as a province, and they wanted to invite people that had lived there, or, you know, just all sorts of different people to come back and celebrate. And they, so for a whole year, they played this song, and they had a bunch of different events, and they had a bunch of different concerts and cultural days. And so it took on the theme song for that event. And the song Goodyear, it's been really a successful song for us. We also recently had it placed in an AT&T commercial all across the U.S., and it appeared on TV that way, too. And our goal with that song, ultimately, would be to have it played on the Dick Clark Ryan Seacrest show in Times Square on New Year's Eve. So one of these years, we're hoping that will also happen.
Yes. Very cool. With Paul McCartney doing an opening for it.
I like it.
Of course.
This show is all about dreams. I like it. Great.
Yeah. We subtitle the show Dreams, so we can. Yeah, exactly. You never know what could happen, right?
Exactly.
That's right.
I like it.
Now, just to touch on a few more things, again, I'll encourage our listeners to head to not only keithandrenee.com, but also on YouTube. They can find some great stuff there. And one of the videos was really cool. We touched on it earlier when you were in Kenya and Africa. And, Keith, you were there with your guitar sort of dancing around a bit, and the children around you, the smiles on their faces and going along with the music, and as you told me before we went on, and you mentioned in the video, you know, they speak Swahili and you speak English, but music connected you guys.
Yeah, it was incredible. There was this one day in particular in Kenya where they were breaking new ground and having this ceremony celebrating the building of a new school in a community where education just doesn't really exist traditionally, and, you know, people spend their days going and fetching water from a local river. And so it was a very exciting day for this community. And so it was amazing because everything is so spread out there. It's like being in the prairies in that you don't really see people all huddled in together in villages. So we were in the middle of this field, and for some crazy reason, I don't know where they came from, but about 500 people showed up for this ceremony. And they did a bunch of cultural dances for us, and they were singing and just celebrating this whole new school being built. And we were asked if we would, in exchange, play a song from Canada. So speaking of our song Goodyear, we thought, well, let's break into this. So we started playing Goodyear, and we taught a bunch of the local kids the song. And out of the blue, this kid came out from this crowd of 500 people with a guitar strapped around him and just came out into the center of this sort of circle that was created, and we all just started jamming on our song Goodyear, and people in the audience were singing and clapping and dancing. And again,
wow.
It was amazing because a lot of them probably didn't even know what this, like the lyrics are, this is going to be a good year. They were probably like, what are we singing? But We felt the same way when we were learning the Swahili songs. But it was just amazing how, again, all these barriers were broken down and we just all connected as one in this moment. And this kid was amazing, like the energy, and he was just dancing around. You can actually see some of that on YouTube as well if you look up Keith and Renee in Kenya. So
that's great. Well, yeah, it's very inspiring to see and to hear about just how music, as you say, breaks down those barriers and connects us all. It's quite powerful. Now, can you just sort of touch base or touch us on what's coming up for you guys for the rest of the year and into 2011? What's ahead? We know this next CD is in the works, but what else have you got on the go?
Yeah, well, we are writing the new album. And, you know, we should mention, this is funny, we also have a show on Blog Talk Radio every Monday night.
Yeah.
On Monday nights we have ours. It's the Keith and Renee show, just to keep
everybody up. Very cool.
Happening. Yeah, so we'll be doing that still in the new year. Renee, what else are we doing?
And we have actually a pretty big show coming up in Winnipeg on December 7th at a place called the Park Theatre. And so I'm not sure if you're familiar with the band Oh My Darling, but they're going to be opening the show that night. And so we look forward to that. We're playing with our full band, which doesn't always happen because Keith and I travel a lot as a duo. So really looking forward to that. And then like I said before, we're going to be finishing our fifth album, and so that's going to be released probably in spring 2011, and we're going to be heading down to the States in February to do some touring there, and yeah, we've got all kinds of stuff happening in the new year.
Awesome. Well, guys, it's been great to connect. A big thanks to Lauren Tutte for putting us in touch, and great to talk with you guys, hear all about your music and to listen to it as well. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having us, Dave. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Dave. It's been great to chat with you.
Awesome. Great talking with you guys. Really enjoyed it, and have a great flight back to Winnipeg, and all the best as the year continues. That'll wrap it up for this show. My guests today have been Keith and Renee. You can find out more about them at keithandrenee.com. And their current album is called Detours. I'm Dave Woods. That wraps up this edition of In the Country.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone, the best in music too. Spend some time in the country, we've been waiting here.